Good morning. I'm going to continue on. I'm going to share from Romans chapter 10, if you want to flip there. You're going to have to be patient with me, or not patient. You're going to have to walk with me as we kind of maybe take a different look at Romans 10 than I've looked at it before. So let's look at this. Mine's the word of faith brings salvation. So that part I absolutely is the key. But he talks there, he contrasts as we read through this, the opposite, where the Israelites were trying to establish a righteousness of their own. So let's look at this. It says, brethren, starting in verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them is for their salvation. For I testify about them that they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge. For not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes that man who practices the righteousness which is based on the law shall live by that righteousness. But the righteousness based on faith speaks as follows. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This morning I was really challenged by this. Challenged by it in a different way. It's interesting how it says that the righteousness based on faith does not say this. This is not what it says in verse 7. In verse 6. The righteousness based on faith speaks as follows. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. So here's my challenge that I was challenged by this morning. In life, we face many different challenges and many different tests and many different trials. And there's two options when you face a test or a trial. One, we trust in the Lord. We look to him and we cry out to him. We ask him to help us through whatever test, whatever trial we're going through. The other is we try and figure out how we're going to solve that problem. And we find ourselves almost saying, if I could just ascend to heaven, if I go down, like that's how I'm taking this. Somebody is sitting here saying, how am I going to establish this righteousness, enough righteousness that I can get into heaven? It's a parallel. We'll call it a parallel, right? This was what the Israelites were struggling with. They were thinking they had to produce this own righteousness. Well, in the same way, this morning I was thinking of this trial, this test. And I'm thinking, how do I solve this? And as I'm sitting there meditating on how I'm going to solve this thing, this conundrum I'm looking at, what I find is, and I'm sitting there, and what was lacking was the crying out, Lord, help me with this. All that I was thinking, I was just sitting there thinking, how am I going to solve this? And so this is, life in my home changes at 7:30 on the nose. At 7:30, boom. I all of a sudden have 5 kids that I get, and on a Sunday morning, Whitney's getting ready, doing this morning, doing lunch, so I get to help get food on the table and all of this. And so I enter this 7:30, when all of a sudden my day starts, where I'm stewing in my mind, how am I going to solve this problem? How am I going to solve this problem? And it's producing in me anxiety. And all of a sudden they come down and they beat me to the table. And they're all of a sudden out of the pantry, the cereal's coming, and we got cereal everywhere. This is because they all want to pour their own cereal. And my frustration level is just skyrocketing. Like, I'm just, and all of a sudden what happens is, so they're all wanting to pour cereal, and I'm getting frustrated, so I grab the Cheerios and I set them at the far end of the island so that they can't have them. And at that point, the Cheerios off the island and all over the floor. So we pretty much lose like half a box of Cheerios. And my wife grabs the broom. And I know she's thinking the exact same thing. She's working this broom. Well, this broom has been involved upstairs sweeping drywall dust, sweeping sawdust, everything. I'm like, that Cheerios are going nowhere but right into the garbage. That's the only place that those are fit for after they've met that broom. And all I'm thinking at this point is, Lord, you have just allowed this. My kids maybe spilt a cup of Cheerios while in their haste to get cereal on the table. I've now spilt a half a box of Cheerios. And it's just, the Lord's just allowing this. And I was just sitting there. I was like, I'm going to go take the dogs for a walk. And so I go out, and if you've met my new dog, my dog is jumping up on me. He's just going nuts. And I'm just incredibly frustrated with him. All the while trying to think, how am I going to solve this problem? How am I going to solve this problem? And at the same time, the brothers are like, anybody have anything to share this morning? I'm like, no, I do not have anything to share this morning. And then all of a sudden, as I'm walking the dog, the Lord is just, these verses that I've been reading this morning about faith, and I'm just so challenged. It's like, there's such a contrast for me. When I'm walking by faith, everybody sitting here, if you're walking by faith, what goes with that? Right? There's a peace of God that just passes. No matter what the trial, what the test, there's a peace in the midst of that. Your kids could be, any other morning, if I'm just at rest in faith, you know, the Cheerios getting spilt and these types of things, of course I'm giving encouragement, hey, let's not be so quick, we're wasting Cheerios, let's not do that. It's a difference. But now, all of a sudden, when I'm no longer in faith and my anxiety is rising, my frustration is rising, man, what a contrast I saw this morning of two options when I'm faced with a trial. And one brings death, and one brings life. And it's not just death for me. It starts to bring death for my kids. It was bringing death for my dog. Like, it's bringing death for everything around me. And it sounds silly, but it's reality, right? It's just not. And I'm so, you see this, and I just thought, man, I've read this, and I always, and it's true. He's talking about the Israelites seeking to establish a righteousness of their own. But I saw such a parallel when I am faced with a trial, and it's very similar. Rather than trying to establish this a righteousness of my own, I'm just trying to solve my own problems. I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to deal with this problem, whatever it is. And I'm not even going to tell you what the problem was. I'll let you put your own problem in there. I'll let you insert problem right there in the story. We have options. We call, and then you just carry on. So the righteousness based on faith speaks this way. No, it says, don't do this. Don't sit there. If you're sitting there this morning thinking, I can relate. I've got my own trials, and I know exactly what it's like to sit there and stew on how I'm going to get through this. And if you've been battling with anxiety, perhaps maybe this morning you're thinking, maybe the light bulb is, as my Cheerios were falling off the island and all these things were going, all light bulbs were going off. Like, Tim, you're not in faith. You're not just trusting me to deal with this problem for you, which I will say the Lord has been dealing with almost miraculously for the last week and a half. And yet now all of a sudden I start to get overwhelmed by it. And you're like Peter, you're walking on the water and you're walking by faith. Your eyes are fixed on Jesus and you're walking by faith. And then all of a sudden you start to turn away from Jesus and you start to see the wind and the waves, and whew, you just start to sink in the midst of your problem, whatever that problem is for you. And this is what the challenge was this morning to me. It's like, man, do I need to be on guard against that? And that's why you go to Hebrews 12. And I was reading that this morning. Hebrews 12, I'm just going to flip there and read that, because it talks about you know, casting off weights and sins that so easily entangle us. But what does it say? It says there, that classic verse we know, but fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. So in the midst of our trials, in the midst of our tests, we have a choice. Are we going to fix our eyes on the trial and the test? And in that trial and that test, try and seek how we're going to solve that problem ourselves, whatever that case may be. Or do we simply come back to the word of faith, which says the word is near you, it's in your mouth and in your heart. That is, that if we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you will be saved. And that is, when I think about it, I think that was my option this morning. The alternative, which I didn't choose, was to just cry out, Lord, I need you. I need your help. I don't see a path forward. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. You know what verse grabbed me this morning in a way that I don't know that it ever has, but it was just so interesting. It says in Hebrews chapter 11, he says, verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. Read that again. You're thinking, what grabs you about that? By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. When we're in unbelief, we are looking at the things we can see, and we're trying to solve those problems. When we're in faith, we go by that which we cannot see. These very trees, the beautiful creation, which even now is a fallen creation, but it's still, the beauty of it is amazing. Everything that we see, God made by something that couldn't be seen. He spoke it, and boom, things that we now see came out of something that was not visible. And so similarly, when you're in a trial, and you're sitting there and you're saying, I don't see a way out of this. I don't see the path forward. This is where our God comes in. And when we call on his name, he can bring something that we can't even imagine when we don't see it. He can bring that salvation so we can see it from a place where we just couldn't see it. We're sitting there and like, Lord, I'm going by what my eyes see. I'm looking at the wind and the waves and I can't see a way out. I don't see it. And in the midst of that place, every one of us, if you've been there, knows that's a place of anxiety. That's a place where there's no life. But faith speaks this way and just says we have to believe in the unseen, that God can come and speak life into that situation. When we think back, I was thinking, what is a great story of this? And I'm walking through my own story of that. But Abraham, I was thinking, what an amazing story, right? 75 years old, he gets the promise. I've referred to this, we've talked about this so many times, but he gets a promise that you're going to have a child. Sarah, Sarah at this point is 65. I'm going to hazard that my suspicion is that physically it was probably at that point still possible that Sarah could have a child. And so it was a test of faith because they'd been married now a while and they'd had no children. Now we fast forward 10 years. And all of a sudden, this word of unbelief gets spoken into Abraham's ear. And it says, the Lord has prevented me from having a child. And Abraham hears this word, and it just is received, and it produces unbelief. And what happens when unbelief comes in? We shift out of faith and into, I got to figure out how to solve this problem. And so that's what Abraham does. He figures out, I'll figure out how I can solve this problem. A solution gets proposed to him. Well, hey, why don't you take another wife? You could take Hagar. I mean, that she would be a good wife. Take her, and that'll do it. Because, you know, the Lord did say, Abraham, that out of your own body. I don't remember him saying out of my body. Just said out of your body. Like, you can just see how the enemy could just be working. And so all of a sudden, you know, that's a good idea. I bet you that'll be a solution to my problem. I can see the path forward. I can see it. There it is. It's been right in front of me. And so he does. And what does it produce? Ultimately, it produces strife, death, anxiety, tension. Cereal boxes get knocked over. Like it just, I say that as, but it's what I was, this morning was such a place of unrest for me. When all of a sudden you just, and I wasn't coming up with a solution either. It was just a waste of my time. Where faith speaks a different way. And Abraham had to come back to this place of faith. It's very interesting that Paul, when he spoke to the Romans, and in Romans 4, it says here, when I was sharing that, this is what Sarah specifically said. Don't turn there, but I'll just read it for you quickly because I want to stay in Romans 4. It said, now Sarah, in chapter 16 of Genesis, said, now Sarah, Abraham's wife, had borne no children, and she had an Egyptian maid whose name was Hagar. So Sarah said to Abraham, now behold, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. And then she says, why don't you have Hagar? Please go into my maid. So this word of kind of unbelief comes in, this doubt comes in, and then we start to solve things in our own strength. and we see the fruit of it. But it says here of Abraham, in my heart, I believe that Abraham repented of this. I have to think that. Because it says here in verse 16 of Romans 4, it says, for this reason it is by faith. He's contrasting being justified by faith or being justified by works. And he's reminding us that, I'm going to tell you, our justification, our sanctification, our salvation, every aspect of what God desires to do in our life is by faith. Not one aspect of that is based on works. I'm going to close with one thing, though, where it does talk about working out our salvation. But let's go with this. So we know it's by faith. It says, for this reason it's by faith, in order that it may be in accordance with grace, so that the promise will be guaranteed to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but to those also who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. I'm going to skip down, and it says, as it is written, I'm not skipping down, verse 17, as it is written, a father of many nations have I made you. In the presence of him whom he believed, even God who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. When you begin to look at the verses that talk about faith, you get a theme. We see the world was created. That which we can now see, the beauty that we can see, came from what couldn't be seen. Look at what it says here. It says, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. And I'm saying this, when you're sitting here looking at your problem and you're saying, a solution to my problem, my trial, my test does not exist, this is what our Heavenly Father specializes in. Solving problems when we don't see the solution. Because that's what he's done from the beginning of time. He's created this beautiful world that he's given us to live in out of something that didn't exist. He brings life when there is no life. He raised Jesus from the dead. It says that in hope against hope, he, Abraham, believed, so that he might become a father of many nations, according to what had been spoken, so shall your descendants be. Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead. There was no longer a path forward for him, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet, with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief. That's the part I was wrestling with. It's like, he did not waver in unbelief. What about Hagar? But I think in my heart, he repented of that. Because he says, at one point, God says to him, I'm going to give you a son. And he says, I already have it. It's right here. It's Ishmael. And God's like, no. That was not my plan. That's the Amplified version. It doesn't really say exactly that. But I believe that at that point, Abraham came back to faith of believing at that point that God was able to give him a son through Sarah, who now Abraham knew. 25 years later, Abraham knew this is not physically possible. The path forward is gone. But except for my God, who is able to raise the dead. And so we know that, yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. So I want to encourage us this morning that what God has promised, that he won't, like, no temptation has overtaken us, but such as is common to man. We need to continue to study the promises of God, that what he has promised to us, he's able to perform them. And in the midst of your test, in the midst of your trial, whatever it is, that we would cling to faith, we'd call on his name and not revert back to finding a solution on our own strength, which is what is so easy to do, because that is what we know apart from God. But now in Christ, we have a new path forward. And that path forward is trusting in our Heavenly Father and not wavering in unbelief, not trying to think of that. And if we see all of a sudden anxiety, if you're battling with anxiety now, I just encourage you to call on the name of the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me for my unbelief and help me with my unbelief, Lord. Cause me to grow strong in faith that in the midst of whatever it is that you're struggling with, that we can call on his name and say, Lord, I believe out of what to me seems impossible, out of the situation I don't see a path forward, it's impossible to me that you can speak into this situation somehow and create some amazing solution out of what I can't see. Out of something that doesn't exist, you can make it exist. You can bring life into a situation that seems dead to me. That is the righteousness of faith. And that's what God's calling us to, and that's what we want to continue and encourage one another to. So we need, in the midst of that, we need faith. And that's where I think about this verse that I've also pondered on this week a little bit in Philippians chapter 2, where Paul gives an exhortation. So we're not to try and work out our own salvation. We're not trying to figure out the solution to all of our own problems. We want to trust the Lord. But Paul does encourage the Philippians. He says that they are to work out their salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. And so when I think of what does that look like when we don't want to live a life of works, we want to live a life of faith. But in the midst of that, we need to work out that salvation with fear and trembling. And I think this is going to come back to what Whitney shared. We need to be diligent to be seeking the Lord, getting into his word, hiding it in our hearts, getting fellowship, all of those things that we know very simply do what? They build our faith. So that in the midst of the trial, in the midst of the test, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. This is where we are working out that salvation with fear and trembling. We are seeking him first. And in seeking him first, he can build our faith. So that in the midst of the test, in the midst of the trial, we can say, Lord, I don't see the path forward, but I'm doing one thing. Like, I'm fixing my eyes on you. I'm trusting you. I'm setting my mind on things above. The mind set on the flesh is death. And I will say to you, a mind that is sitting there stewing over how we're going to solve our problems, or perhaps maybe we just spend time, as it's so easy to do, looking at the circumstances in this world. You sit there and read enough articles about wars and pandemics and whatever. Oftentimes it can cause anxiety. And that's where we need to come back and say, Lord, I need to set my mind on things above. Because if I just get focused on other things, whatever they are, and it starts to produce anxiety and fears, that's not what Christ has for us. His desire is that we walk by faith. And in the faith, you can go back to Galatians 5 and you can read the fruits of the Spirit and the fruits of the flesh. And I'll tell you that it's like the fruits of the flesh and the fruits of unbelief. Like, and that's what I could just see it immediately this morning. Peace is gone. Anxiety starts to come in. You start to be angry and short with your kids. You get frustrated with anything that's moving. This is the fruit of unbelief. And we need to repent of that. I need to repent of that. And continue, just like that man that we read about where he says, if you can do anything, Lord. And he says, if I can do anything, if you can believe. So I just want to encourage us this morning. Let's continue to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Let's be diligent to just seek him, that our faith would continue to grow. I've talked to others, this is why we encourage fellowship. This is why we encourage getting into the word. It's the simplicity of it because it builds our faith so that when the tests and the trials come, we can have faith in the midst of those tests and trials. So I encourage you this morning, the difference between walking by faith and the peace that comes with that versus trying to solve our own problems and our own challenges and the anxiety that comes with that. I lived it this morning, just a glimpse of it, and the Lord was definitely speaking to my heart. So hopefully that can be an encouragement to you.